Now, there's a theme that I'd like to pursue today that is one of the most important in Scripture, and that is the theme of holiness. The title of the message is A Relationship with the Transcendental. We are poor, humble creatures. We're gravely limited by what is on earth and our physical senses. There's a vast universe out there that we are aware of. There is a God who fills that universe that we need to come to know better. And the heart of that knowledge is holiness. Now, we used to have preachers in this country that were called holiness preachers. They preached on the doctrine all the time, and it was upon the hearts of people. That generation is gone. And we have a society that is filled with worldliness and thoughts of pleasure, thoughts of willful desires. And God is crowded into a corner. I'd like us to meditate today on what holiness means and what it means in our own heart. Now, you know the verses. I don't have to repeat all of them to you. In Leviticus 11:44, God says, "I am holy." That's the one attribute that he stresses. In the giving of the law, Exodus 20, verse 7, again, "I am holy." He emphasizes that. It's a very important thing. Nowadays, you hardly ever hear it mentioned, much less emphasized, anywhere. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, Isaiah is privileged to see and hear the seraphim. They are great archangelic beings in the presence of God, in the glorious realm above. And they have a theme which they are constantly singing about. The theme is holy, holy, holy. The inmost nature of the supreme God. Now, they are vast archangelic beings with tremendous abilities, and they can think and they can perceive and they understand more of the nature of God than any of us can. And they take from that knowledge the one idea of his holiness. He is absolutely separate from evil. He is absolutely good in the most positive sense, set apart for what is right and holy and pure. This is our God. Now, we all know this. This is not news to any of you. The problem is, we're not holy. We live in the midst of a wicked world. We're surrounded by people who are unholy, vicious many times, blasphemous many times. All of that rubs off on us. And we ask the Lord for grace and wisdom and guidance, and we sure need all of these things. But there's one thing we rarely ask for, and that's holiness. Somehow that sounds like it's something that belongs to God, which is a very appropriate idea. But it's something he wishes to share with his people. To be holy is to be absolutely set apart from sin. And that is our God, absolutely set apart from sin. Now, we need to be holy. And this is not news. We all know this. This is in the Bible. But we are not absolutely set apart from sin. We're living in the middle of it. We're contaminated ourselves. What can we do about this mess? Well, that is what we're going to talk about today. What is the pathway that the believer can walk that will be a pathway of holiness, that leads to the presence of God, that leads to the throne room of heaven, where the seraphim do indeed cry out without ceasing, the holiness of God? You have your Bibles. Will you turn to John chapter 17? In John 17, dropping down to verse 11, we have the Lord's Prayer, not the one that we recite all the time, but a prayer of intercession that the Lord makes in behalf of his people. And we drop down to verse 11. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his Father, says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." He addresses his heavenly Father as Holy Father. Now here is the Lord himself speaking about his heavenly Father. He knows him better than anybody else in the universe. And he singles out of the character of the divine nature, holy. That should not be lost on any of us. The Lord Jesus perceives that his Father is absolutely holy. It is his single most significant attribute. And he addresses him, Holy Father. And he prays, "Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." He prays that the Father would keep his people, those who have come to the Lord Jesus, those who are his redeemed saints. He prays that he would keep them through his own name, Holy Father. That means we should be thinking daily about the relationship that we have with God the Father. He is the Holy Father. He cannot be defiled by sin. He is absolutely holy. And we are his children by faith in his dear Son. And we are not holy. That is, not all the time. We understand that we are by his grace made holy in Christ, but we live in the midst of a wicked world. We're surrounded by evil, sin, temptations, and we have to live here. Now, what does this doctrine mean in our daily life? It means that we are always in the presence of God. Now, we all know that. You can't get away from him. He is omnipresent. That is one of his attributes. We are always in the presence of the Holy Father. The trouble is, we shut that off. And we get to thinking about this, that, the other, in the world, pleasures, work, whatever it is. And we forget who is present and who he is. Now, if we could see God, it would change everything. That vision of holiness is absolutely staggering. Isaiah saw that vision of holiness, Isaiah chapter 6. And he heard the seraphim crying out before that throne room, "Holy! Holy! Holy!" Yes, the divine Trinity, the threefold holy. What an august scene that was. Now, friends, we don't live in that scene. We live down here in the nasty now and now. And we're rubbing shoulders with definitely what is unholy. We're bumping into sin all the time. Temptation crouches in wait for us everywhere. And we live in a society where the media, if I may say, pumps the atmosphere full of unholiness, sensuality, taking us away from the presence of God and the idea of holiness. Friends, it's bad enough among the laity. I think it's worse among the preachers. Preachers used to be holiness preachers. They preached on it regularly. There are preachers in Christian churches who haven't preached on holiness in the last 20 years. And the world is suffering because of it. The testimony that believers should have in the midst of this wicked world is that we are very different. We belong to God. We're on His side. He's holy. And therefore, there are a lot of things we don't do. There are a lot of things we will not say. There are many things we won't join in here. And people look at us as odd. All right, so be it. God is also looking upon us every day, every hour. What does He see? A believer sliding toward the world, fascinated by the glitter of what is there? Or does He see a believer on His side who will not compromise, who will not walk that road, but he will instead walk with God? Now, friends, this is what we are summoning every believer to. Our life must be characterized by holiness, because our God is holy. And that means there are a lot of things we don't do, a lot of places we don't go. We are instead God's people. We are walking with Him. We are traveling a pathway that leads to a realm of staggering splendor, from the archangelic hosts to the saints of old. Every person in that throne room is holy, in an absolute sense. And so, that is our destination. That is our goal. We're aiming there, not anywhere else. Friends, we must think about this, because it changes what we are doing and what we are thinking. The Lord Jesus prayed in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." There is one tool that we have that can shape us in the direction of sanctification, is this book we're holding in our hands. And the Lord prays that the Father would sanctify them, His people, through thy truth. Thy word is that truth. And that means every day we need to be in this book, reading what is there, applying what is there to our hearts, thinking about what that means in our conduct, our actions, our goals, our purposes. Everything should be in keeping with this doctrine. Thy word is truth. It doesn't just contain it. The whole book is truth. It tells us what reality is. It is a God in glory who is absolutely holy. There's a place there He's prepared for us which is absolutely pure and holy. There are people gathering there from thousands of years of the world's history who are every one of them holy people, completely sanctified, never again having other thoughts. Their mind is stayed upon God permanently. And that's where we're going. Now, friends, I can understand a lost person that is thrown away the thought of such a thing. He's going in the devil's direction. He's out to enjoy life. He's out to have fun. And he turns his back on all of that. And he will get what we all know he will get. That is not enjoyment for all eternity. Is it worth it to throw away the glories of heaven for whatever enjoyments for a few years here? Well, no, it isn't worth it. But these people do it anyway. They're sacrificing the eternal for the sake of transitory pleasure. And we must look at that very sharply and recognize that we don't belong in that crowd. We are going in a different direction. We are going to the presence of God. We are going to stand before Him in robes of righteousness because of Jesus Christ. And that should change everything. It is not a burden to open the pages of this blessed book and read it. Not if you're hungry. Not if you know the person about whom the book is written. Not if you recognize that he's written a love letter to you. And that love is expressed in this book. It's exciting to read it. But many Christians come to the Bible and they read several chapters. It's, you know, the right thing to do. It's our duty. Now, friends, none of you who have ever been in love have ever read a love letter because it was your duty. If you've read a love letter, you read it because you are very interested in who has written it. And you respond on that same level of interest with that person. And it's not a chore to read that letter. In fact, for people in love, those letters get read and read and read and read until they're in shreds. Now, you're holding in your hand here God's love letter to us. And we should treat it that same way because of the person who sent it. It is God Himself who declares that He loves us, not with a passing love, with an infinite love, an eternal love. And He is inviting us through this book to come into His presence permanently, where He can shower His love and grace and blessings upon us. That is an exciting thought. It is something that should make our Bible reading a zealous matter of our life, something that we just gravitate toward because of who has written it and what He has said to us. Sanctify them through thy truth. This book is doing it. It is step by step pulling us away from the world, showing us that this practice is not honoring to God. This language ought to be changed. This direction in our life should be pursued all because of the love of God. And your pathway is directed toward God. You are aiming toward Him. And you are walking that pathway, getting closer to Him every day. You are doing it deliberately. You're leaving the world behind. You're leaving wicked people behind. You're going in His direction, and you will not stop till you see Him face to face. Now, friends, we must recognize what this means for us all. Holiness is not just a musty old doctrine that belonged to saints of a past generation. It is the doctrine of the nature of God. And if you know anything at all about God, you know that the Bible says He is absolutely holy, and He summons us to come to Him, to a light that is blinding, a light that is staggering in its brilliance, It is absolute purity, absolute holiness, and he invites us into his presence. We'll never make it without the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood must wash us from our sins. His blood must change us into persons who belong in that realm. And as we approach, our lives should reflect his person, his desires, his will. As we draw nearer his presence, it should be clear that we know where we're going and we're determined to pursue that pathway and leave all the rest behind. No second thoughts, no divided loyalty. We're on his side. We're there permanently, and we're drawing near. Friends, holiness is not a theoretical doctrine. It is a recognition of life. Life in the presence of God, eternal life that will never change. Friends, it means that we must be different. We must change from what we used to be, what the world around us still is. And we must direct our steps toward God and live in his presence a separate life. In Hebrews 12:10, the writer tells us that we experience chastening, not a pleasant thing, that we might be partakers of his holiness, Hebrews 12:10. Yeah, the hard places in life, the corrections that we get, come from a loving God who is chastening us, moving us closer to the pathway, causing us to walk with him. And so, even the chastening is good. It makes us what we ought to be. We should look forward to it, even though we rarely think that way. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes, he faced the wickedness, the sin, the evil, and it all fell upon him like mud slung upon him. None of it stuck. It all fell away, and he remained the sinless Lamb of God. He never sinned. He never failed. And we must recognize we're going through the world, and it's his righteousness, it's his holiness that we need. Our own isn't worth anything. But we're traveling a pathway that he traveled, and he showed us it could be done. And as we travel, we must think about this, that we are his separate, holy people. And we're going on a pathway that leads directly into his presence. And we shall see him someday, face to face. That is our goal. That is our purpose. And we must recognize there must be no divided allegiance. We belong to him. Period. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The absolutely sinless Son of God came into this wicked world to be made the object of God's wrath, to hang upon a cross of agony with the evils of the world poured out upon him. And he bore it all for us so that we might not have to endure that wrath. Friends, being holy is a staggering privilege, not just a burdensome obligation. His presence changes everything. He wishes to make us what He already is. He wishes us to be His bride, absolutely perfect, in His presence, enjoying the glories and splendors of that home. And He's going to do it all by Himself. We can't add a thing to what He's doing. But we do submit to what He wants. We turn our backs upon the pleasures of this world. We walk willingly in His direction. We walk with Him on a pathway homeward. Friends, holiness is for all of us, not just for ancient saints, not just for the apostles. Every single believer is to be holy, absolutely separate from sin. You say, well, I haven't made it yet. Oh, yes, that is very true. But we should all be making progress. There should be definite steps away from what is contaminating, toward what we know is God's will, honoring to Him. It should be a deliberate and purposeful movement. And that means all of us have to ask ourselves that question. Am I really closer to God today than I was yesterday? Do I really have the sense of God's holiness upon me better than I had in the past? Is there progress, Christian growth in my life? Hard questions, but very wholesome ones to ask. There should be evident progress. We are traveling a pathway. It is a hard pathway. There are many stumbling stones. There are enemies. We need His grace and strength and help. We all know this. Do we ask for it? Do we ask for the sense of His presence? Do we ask Him to fortify us against the wicked blandishments of the world? Sometimes we forget to ask. That's a catastrophe. We need to remind ourselves that we don't belong in this world. We're just passing through it. We belong in His presence in glory. We belong in that place where the angels sing the praises of God and the saints in heaven glorify Him. We belong to be there with Him. And that should dominate our thinking and our practice. In 2 Peter 1:4, Peter says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Yes, God has made provision for us. He has given us a holy book that we can read, meditate upon, fill our minds and thoughts with this book. Great and precious promises. He's promised to deliver us from this world. He's promised to bring us into His presence because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can grasp those promises and hold on. They're given to every one of us. And we need them desperately. 2 Peter 1:4 and 5. Add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, self-control, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Yes, it's a process where we are adding to ourselves the virtues that Scripture encourages. It's a very deliberate thing. Let's face it, we're not as patient as we ought to be. We're not as godly as we ought to be. But he is offering to help us in these regards. And so a deliberate practice of traveling the right pathway by the grace and strength of the Spirit of God and letting him add to our character those virtues that we desperately need and we've often don't even pray for. When's the last time that you prayed that God would make you a more loving person? When's the last time you prayed that God would make you a holy person? I mean, these are theories. These are principles that are in Scripture. They're not in our immediate range of desires, but they should be. And this is what the Scriptures are given to us for, to awaken within us that hunger for God, for his presence, for his love, for his character, his holiness. It's given to us so that we might get a foretaste of that blessed scene in glory where we will see him face to face. Friends, why do you read the Bible? Do you read it because, quote, it's a good work, something all Christians are supposed to do? Or is this book a love letter from the dearest person you know? Is this book something you would gravitate to and read and reread, fill your heart and mind with it because of your love for the author? Friends, we need to improve. We need to do better than we have done in the past. If we are on a pathway that leads to him, we ought to be thinking about it all the time. If that person at the end of that pathway is the most important person in the world to us, we ought to be thinking about him all the time. You say, well, you know, I've got things to do here. Yes, the Lord Jesus came to earth with a lot of things to do, people to rescue and train, and he never lost sight of his Father. On every occasion, he could talk to his Father. There was a bond there that nothing could break. That is exactly what ought to be in the lives of every one of us. A bond of relationship, a blessed fellowship between the believer and God. And nothing is going to break it. Nothing is going to come between. We're going to walk the pathway all the way to the end in the presence of God, every step of the way sustained by him, illumined by his word, comforted by his Spirit, all the way into his presence. That is holiness. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, would you think about your pathway, your practices, your desires? And by the grace of God, align yourself with the Scriptures in worship of the Lord Jesus, submission to his will and his presence, and ask the Holy Spirit of God to make you what you ought to be. O Lord, forgive us that we are so contaminated by this world. Forgive us that we forget how great thou art, that we forget how holy thou art. And by thy grace, transform us, make us what we should be, enable us to walk through this difficult pathway in thy presence, holding thy hand, walking step by step with thee, all the way to the end, where we are ushered into thy presence immediately. By thy grace, Lord, make us a holy people, set apart for thee, in fellowship with thee, talking to thee because they love thee, and walking with thee because they want to. Help us to be sanctified, holy, for Jesus' sake. Amen.